Chris Gibson, let's start with the payroll tax cut debate. You broke ranks with your conference. Can you tell us why?
Well, fundamentally, I believe that my constituents should be able to keep more of their money. And so, to me, until such time that we get comprehensive tax reform done, and I would hope that that would be a goal for both parties this year to get that done, but until we do, then extending the payroll tax holiday is something that I plan on doing.
When you break ranks with your conference or your caucus, what do you do? Do you call up the speaker and say, sorry, Mr. Boehner, I can't, or John, I can't do this with you? Or,
I do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm told I'm one of the few that do that. But I let them know. I say, look, you know, I think that this is not the right move. I think I'm not going to support it. And would like everyone to rethink what we're doing here. So, you know, it's interesting. I meet people back in the district and, you know, they point out, well, you were one of seven. What was that like? Well, the thing to know is that when you're going through it, you don't know how many others. I mean, leadership came to me, the way they expressed it was you're going to be the only one in a big vote.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but look, I mean, I know who I am. And I know who I work for. So to me, it was always clear where I was going to be moving on this issue. I was pleased to see the matter resolved very quickly. As a matter of fact, within 48 hours or so of the initial vote that we extended it for 2 months. Now, to be sure, the year long is certainly a better arrangement for all concerned. But until such time that we can reach an agreement on how to pay for it, we should extend it. And that was my argument all along. Look, I mean, we all know, I say all, the president, leaders in both houses, both parties, have all agreed that we want to extend the payroll tax holiday for a year. So we agree on where we need to be, and we have disagreement on how to get there. But it made no sense to me that as we work out the details that we would let the payroll tax holiday lapse.
Now, of course, it turns out you were right. And if they had listened to you, because they had to turn tail, really, they would have been in a lot better shape. You've got a PhD, you're a colonel in the Army, you've commanded battalions. Do they ever just scratch their heads and say, you know, let us listen to this guy because he makes sense?
Well, yeah, I'd like to think that, you know, that I have influence in the conference. But look, you know, on these matters, these are intensely personal decisions that legislators have to make. And so I respect the decision of all, regardless of party, on how they represent their district. To me, this one was very clear that we needed to do this. We needed to extend the payroll tax holiday for 2 months until such time that the conference committees could work out the details to get it done for a year. And even the year, where we need to be longer term is to get the comprehensive tax reform done so that we can have our constituents keep more of their money without even having to move towards the payroll tax.
Why don't you give us some specifics, Chris Gibson, about which of the comprehensive tax reforms you would like to see?
So you look at income tax, for example, and income tax and corporate tax, for that matter, and you take a look at the fact that the tax code right now is very dense, complex. In my view, it favors those that can afford to retain accountants and lawyers that are looking for, you know, basically havens for their money so they don't pay tax. And what I think we need is simpler, fairer tax code. And so what we're really talking about is closing expenditures that is otherwise known as loopholes so that we can have more competitive marginal rates going
forward.
I'm
sorry for interrupting, but what are the most onerous of these loopholes that you see?
Well, for example, you can have a corporation that is based in the United States that may have a subsidiary in another country that takes out a financial instrument that may go through a country like, say, Hungary, for example. And that's not far-fetched at all. It happens. And, you know, to the degree to which these corporations incur tax liability changes as they move through these various instruments, And I think we need to take a hard look at those kind of arrangements so that what we're doing is developing a tax code that fosters job creation here in the United States, competitiveness of companies right here in the United States, and so that it's simpler, it's fairer, and so that our small business owners, 70% of the jobs in our district are really come from small business, that the kind of folks who don't have the money, quite frankly, to retain, you know, tax lawyers and accountants to look for every single shelter, tax shelter. So what I want to do is see us change that, change our tax code so that it's simpler, fairer, so that our small business owners and hardworking families can keep more of their money.
Won't some Republicans see this as heresy?
You know, I don't know about that. But I will tell you this, that I know that there are colleagues on both sides of the aisle that believe that we need to fundamentally reform the tax code, and that when we do, it will be pro-growth. It will lead to not only more job creation, but more revenues for us, because in the process of expanding the economy, recapitalizing, expanding, and hiring new workers, you have fewer people that are unemployed, which means that you're paying out less in terms of all the social services that would go with somebody unemployed, and you're actually bringing in more because you have more people to work. So pro-growth tax reform is, I think, the way forward for us to expand the economy and really to help the working class, middle class people in our country.
Well, Chris Gibson, when you go to your leadership and you say, look, I disagree with you, do they take a look at how competitive your district is and say, okay, you can be off the hook because we need to retain you and you've got too many Democrats in there?
Well, you know, my experience has been when they want you on a vote, they're going to come they're going to come pretty strong. But look, I mean, I treat everyone down there with dignity and respect, regardless of party. And I look them in the eye and say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I know who I am and I know who I work for. So, I mean, there you have it.
Chris Gibson, always a pleasure to have you with us. Coming into the studio, we're greatly honored to have you here. And thank you so much for doing it.
Thank you, Alan.